Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 26 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. My name is Kyle, and with me once again is Corey. How's it going, dude?
How's it going, my brother?
Not bad. James, how you doing, my friend?
Batting 800 through four games in my softball league, Kyle.
Yeah.
Whoa, 800, slow down.
Everybody hit 700, so.
This is like gimme ball, right?
No, it's fast pitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, James, come on, give yourself a pat on the back, man.
Yeah, no, it's better than last year. I slumped it last year, so good start.
I only hit 600 last year. That was a bad year.
That is a bad year in my league, and I hit like 550, which was pretty much considered terrible.
Like, do you guys, like, is it strict scoring, or if there's an error on the play, they'll still give you the base hit?
Okay, so each team keeps their own stats, and our team is pretty strict scoring. There are teams in the league that everybody's hitting 1,000 or like 900, which is crazy. But we keep pretty legit stats on our team.
Like, a hit is a hit. So your 800 is a legit 800. Like balls that have actually gone through or gotten through, dropped down in the outfield.
Yeah, no, I've got, two plays that on any other team would probably be considered a hit that were considered errors.
All right, good stuff, man. So hey.
Good start.
We're pro here.
We're 4-0 too, so that helps. We scored 22 runs in one game. That also helps.
Nice.
No mercy rule?
5 runs an inning. We scored in every inning.
And the 7th inning is open, I would imagine?
Got it.
Nice. Yeah, dude, that's solid.
Yep.
I miss playing ball.
You should come out and sub for us one time, man.
I may do that. My services have been made available to Tony and Balser, who are also in their league.
Yeah, hook me up too, James. I can hit, man. Ask Kyle.
Can you hit?
I'm like a 900 hitter, man. Like, when I play softball, I'm...
Whoa, he's a 900 hitter. He's one-upping it here.
Dude,
that's a lot of hits.
I'm huge.
Awesome. Seriously, we always need subs, so I'll hit you guys up.
Oh, but seriously, though, Kyle and I were serious ball players back in the day, honestly.
Oh, I know.
All right. You know, a lot of people don't like baseball, so we have to move on. But good weekends, you guys?
Awesome.
Yeah, beautiful
dudes,
weekend.
This may not mean a lot to some people, especially to our listeners in the San Jose area and in southern climates, but up here in Canada in May, it's we get nice weather, but it's not swimming pool weather. But we've been in the midst of an extraordinary heat wave.
Spectacular.
Crazy. And we were in the pool yesterday for like a couple hours. And the water, it wasn't like, let's just go in to say we got in May. Like, the water was plenty warm enough to swim in.
I heard on the video, it was the hottest day in May. Friday was the hottest May day on record. Not just that date, but the hottest day in May period on record.
That's nuts, man.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Saturday wasn't far off either. Yesterday, I think the thermometer hit 30 for me.
Beautiful, yeah. Which for our listeners in the States is what, like a...
No, it's like 90? It's like upper 80s.
Gotta be close to 90?
Yeah, I think it's like 86, 87.
So, pretty nice.
Yeah. Pretty damn nice.
I like how you singled out the San Jose area. Like, not, you know, the southern hemisphere, but the San Jose area.
No, we seem to get a lot of listeners in the San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland area.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hey, I guess we gotta give a tip of the hat to the San Jose listeners. If they're any Shark fans, they've got a trip to the Stanley Cup final on tap.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah, good for them. I hope they're pulling for their team, wearing the colors of the Sharks, whatever shirt. I don't know. Do you think people wear turquoise shirts to hockey games?
No.
Probably not.
That was my team in 2014. I used them all the time. 2014 hockey. For NHLPA.
Right.
Yeah, there's...
Hey, go Joe Thornton, right?
That's it.
Let's get Joe Thornton a ring. Although, you know what?
I like
of all this... Yeah, of all the scenarios that have could have played out, I'll be happy with whoever wins.
True.
I do like Crosby. A lot of people think he's a whiner and blah, blah, blah. I think I prefer good hockey players. If they like to whine a bit, so what?
I don't even find him to be a whiner. I think he's got... He gets a bad rep there, but either way, I agree with you. He's awesome.
He is awesome.
Captain, he's got to complain a bit.
Well, he was also 20 years old when, you know, trying to play with the 30-year-old guys who, and he was better than them.
So, of course.
Way better than them.
So, you know.
And let's not forget that Wayne Gretzky complained and whined and cried, and so did Mario Lemieux, and so did Steve Yzerman. The cameras are always on these guys, so you're going to catch them crying and whining.
Exactly. This is a great sports podcast, by the way.
No kidding. I can already hear our listeners falling asleep. But no, selfishly, there is a Star Wars tie-in here, so sit tight, everybody. We kind of have to pull a little bit for the Penguins, just to keep Dave Filoni happy. He's a huge, huge Penguins fan.
True. And there you go.
So if the Penguins do well, I think that sort of, there's probably going to be a correlation there between the quality of Star Wars Rebels for season 3 and the Penguins winning the cup.
I think if I was a betting man, which I am, if everybody wants some action, hit me up, Kyle, Corey. I would put money on the Pens to win it.
Oh, geez. I went with the Sharks, so I'm sticking with the Sharks, but I won't be surprised either way.
Yeah, I won't be surprised either way, but usually when it boils down to it, and I think we're all on the same page, I think the West is, you know, just a wee bit stronger.
I don't know. I don't know if I think that's true. I would usually say it boils down to goaltending, and then that I would probably give it to the...
You know what I attribute it to? I attribute it to their fact that they're able to play in their time zone more or less. Like, okay, like, a guy like us, if we travel out there, we're playing games at 10, 11 at night, which we're not really used to. Guys like them, they come out here, game that's supposed to be at 9 at night, whatever, it's actually kind of like 5 at, or like 6 for them, you know?
Not so
they still got all kinds of energy.
Now, they're all creatures of habit, and... You know, at this point of the season, they're all messed up. They're all totally off their internal clocks, especially the Sharks. The Sharks, the Western Conference teams really take it in the teeth as far as travel goes. They travel so much further than the Eastern teams.
Yeah, but they can suck it for the weather that they get.
Well, of course. The lifestyle, going to the rink and flip-flops, yeah. Anyway. Well, James, before we get into Star Wars, are we kind of started on a really crappy note? We woke up to news about the lead singer of probably our favorite band, just Canadian icons, Gord Downie of the Tragically Hip, diagnosed back in December, but only made public this week with terminal brain cancer. And I don't know what your initial reaction was, but that was like a punch in the face to me.
More maybe in the gut for me, but yes, I felt like I got punched. I felt sick. It's just... You know, it's the kind of news, you know it can happen to anyone, and you know nobody's invincible to this stuff, but that guy is such a legend, I felt like I got punched, Kyle.
It made me sick. Like, my alarm went off at 5:30 on Monday morning, and our local rock station started off with some news, and I thought that, honestly, when they were saying some really sad news coming from the Tragically Hip, I thought they were announcing a breakup, which would have been awful in itself. But then they continued on with the report that Gord Downie was terminally ill, and I was just like, what? Wow, that ruined a good few days, which is kind of maybe insensitive because it's probably ruined him and his family's life, not to mention his bandmates and people close to them.
No, of course, I'm trying not to say that kind of stuff too. I know what you mean. Like, you don't mean it that way. You know, it's so hard on me, poor me. Because of course
I was devastated as well, you guys. Thanks for asking. But I actually sent Kyle a message. Hey, did you hear the news? You know? And he's like, yeah, I heard. But like, same thing. As soon as I read the news, I was like in disbelief for like a. I was like, really? Like, and I felt my heart drop into my stomach. Like I was like. And
growing up with you, Corey, I didn't know that you were such a big Tragically Hip fan.
Well, they were never.
I don't know how I missed that one.
Well, you listen to it all the time. Like, I would always borrow your CDs. Like, I love all the old stuff. Like, the last few albums, I would hear more or less on the radio, but, no, the old stuff, like Road Apples and the one with the 100th Meridian.
Fully Completely.
Yeah.
Night.
Day for Night. That's my wheelhouse, too.
Dude. Exactly. Like, No, I was a huge fan. And, like, you have to be so proud of a Canadian band like that. I mean, it had such success. And Gord Downie is a prodigy, man. Like,
yeah. I think what's really...
Sorry, go ahead.
There's so many angles. There's so many angles in which this is just horrible, horrible news. But I was convinced in my mind that I'd be 60 years old watching an 80-year-old Gord Downie still on stage telling crazy stories.
About killing.
And wondering, is this a lucid Gord, or is this like Alzheimer Gord on stage telling a crazy story?
You know what? If he ever got Alzheimer's, he would be completely normal. He'd become normal on stage.
It'd be like when George Costanza turns super smart.
Right, because he stopped having sex.
Exactly. Oh, man. But hey, they're doing that cross-country tour, and...
They're not coming to Montreal. How's
that? Not coming to Montreal, which I'm trying not to complain about too much because I don't know the reason why.
See you in Ottawa.
So, right. So they're in Ottawa, which is a stone's throw away, and the pre-sale begins tomorrow, guys. And I'm not saying that maybe we should figure something out, but maybe we should figure something out in the next few hours here.
I'm 100% game with that.
I'm going 100%.
Guys,
we got to figure something out.
You're always my ticket guy. Hook me up.
All right, well, we'll talk after the show because...
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening, and this is a Star Wars podcast, so let's move on to the galaxy far, far away, shall we?
We shall.
Let's do it, guys.
All right, so on the show today, we've got the stupid fan theory of the week. It's back. And a little bit of episode 8 news, some small stuff. We'll get a little hipstery and talk about some vinyl. Records, I mean. And we'll wrap it all up with our random thoughts and would you rather segment. So, with that said, let's get to the stupid fan theory of the week, which they all drive me nuts. But what really drives me nuts about a lot of them is really when you could have spent 2 minutes doing a bit of research, and I mean 2 minutes, and realizing that, oh, no, this is actually impossible. So this week's stupid fan theory of the week would see Poe and Rey actually being brother and sister. And, I mean, let me hear your reasoning. And the reasoning is, if you read the Shattered Empire comic book, at the end of the four-part arc, they take two trees. Luke Skywalker is in possession of two trees which are imbued with the spirit of the Force.
And I have to say quickly that I found that, I didn't know this, but I found that so intriguing and so cool.
Yeah, the idea of Force-sensitive trees is a cool idea.
Borrowed from, stolen from, bitten from Tolkien. Just want to throw that in. Go ahead.
It does sound very Tolkien.
Yeah, totally is.
And I love that.
It's awesome.
Well, Star Wars borrows from everything, so...
Well, and look, when it comes to mythologies, they all steal from each other, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So Luke gave... I forget where he planted one of these Force-sensitive trees, but apparently he... Anyway, not to rehash this whole issue, but apparently...
Right, he tried to find a Jedi temple.
Right, so he gave one to Poe's parents to plant near Yavin 4, or on Yavin 4 near the base where they had set up a little colony to start their post-war lives, I guess. So set down roots, begin their family. And they planted a tree somewhere else while on a mission. And the insinuation was that Luke got busy with Poe's mom, which would make Luke Rey's mom or Rey's father. Except where the 2 minutes of research comes into play is that if anybody dared or bothered to look on Wikipedia about Shara Bay, who is Poe's mom, and the reported mom to Rey, lover of Luke, you would know that this woman died 6 years after Return of the Jedi ends. So there's mathematically zero possibility that she could be Rey's mom. And that's what drove me nuts, because this story made the rounds. It was everywhere.
There are a lot of cool things to be drawn from it, but definitely not the fact that they're brother and sister.
No, it was maddening.
No, obviously, because not knowing, see, you just enlightened me, so I didn't know that. But with Google and internet being what it is, it's annoying that it would get that much attention on the web. You do have to, and we say this a lot, it's just clickbait most of the time, right? They need something else for people who are starving for something new, and there's nothing new. It's our fault in a way.
But it does provide some kind of cool, like we're having this discussion right now, and these saplings of the forest or whatever, these trees of the forest, like, I do plan on reading all this new expanded universe stuff eventually.
Whoa, don't call it expanded universe.
Well, what do we call it now?
It's canon.
Okay, all this new canon literature and stuff that's coming out, I do plan on
expanded
reading it.
Expanded universe, come on.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard. It's embedded in there. It was branded. Anyway, it's super cool. But another thing to touch upon too is that the fact that I have to encourage any Star Wars fan, including yourselves, although I think you both have fully recognized this fact, but, you know, I'm nearing the double digit mark on The Force Awakens and watch and viewings. And basically that scene where Poe comes in and saves Han and Chewie and Finn, like, he is an animal, the way he just destroys people. The way he's flying this X-Wing is just incredible. Like, I go as far to say as I haven't seen a Jedi fly a plane that well. Like, the way he manipulates...
Oh, he takes out, like, stormtroopers on the ground with pinpoint accuracy, and then takes out 10 or 11 TIE fighters in the space of 10 or 11 seconds.
What was it? I counted it, like, during my fifth viewing, I counted it. It was, like, something like 9 or 10, and in a few seconds, it was just like, just, wow.
I have one criticism about that scene.
As do I. I wonder if we're gonna have the same one.
He pulls too many G's.
Yes!
That, yeah.
He'd have vomited all over the inside
Never
of his
body. Never mind vomited. His frame would be, his bones would be broken inside. He'd just be a bag of meat.
Yeah, he probably would have liquefied his organs too.
They're jumping. No. The science is there, okay? Their cockpits are pressurized in a way where they're not feeling the G's, obviously. Even though they're in an atmosphere at that point, no G's.
Not G's in that scene.
It looks
sound
like
in
it.
Space, no G's, got it.
Nope.
Well, it's another one of those things where you just don't ask questions.
No,
really. How does Starkiller drain suns and contain that energy? How does it fire across outer space?
I said it was
jump through hyperspace. Like, seriously, come on. You think they're feeling the G's in hyperspace in an X-Wing? Like,
just don't ask questions, right?
No, the cockpit's pressurized, and it does make sense. You don't need to ask questions because it all makes sense.
It is an awesome scene.
Well, okay, let's also preface Corey's, like, I'll die on this mountain type tirade. As he says that the Matrix is easy to understand, it makes perfect sense. So I'll just leave it at that.
I love that movie.
It is a great movie. The first one is a great movie.
No, I mean all of them.
Wow.
I like part two a lot. I like the fact that they were filmed back to back, and
I like
the rave scene can kind of go, but there's a lot of like deep things that people. I'm sure the average moviegoer just, like, it blew right over their head, and they were just like, okay, whatever, like, action. But I thought the fact that there were seven Zions and all that, like, it took me, like, one or two times to watch it and be like, wow, like, there's a lot going on that it does make sense. Like, there's so many variables to that shit. I don't know, whatever. I loved it.
We're going to call him Deep Cut Corey from now on.
I like that movie quite a bit, the first one.
I cried when Trinity died. In the theater with my buddy Chow. We both like
You got all verklempt?
Yeah.
Oh jeez.
Amongst yourself for a few minutes.
it is a super cool scene, but he pulls more G's than something about a joke and rappers and a girl. But
that makes more sense to me.
He yeah, good scene though.
Super cool. It's one hell of a pilot, right?
Yeah, he's the best, and they showcased it there, right? They built his reputation in that scene.
Yeah. Well, no way. His reputation was built prior. Like, just right away, talking back to Kylo.
Oh, no, we knew right away, but that was our, you know, we got to see it. Like, we knew, and then that was our, here you go.
That's
well, I, you know, and that, I think that was, we needed that because, well, I think one of the errors in the prequels, not to get too far off course here, but.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. We hear about, from Obi-Wan in A New Hope about how Anakin was this great pilot and this and that, cunning warrior. But you never, I never felt like you got too much of that, especially the piloting part. Like, there's the opening battle of
Revenge of the Sith.
In Revenge of the Sith, where Anakin pulls a few slick moves, but nothing spectacular.
The car race and in Attack of the Clones as well.
Yeah, that, but again, nothing earth-shattering. Like, Obi-Wan's flight through the asteroid field when he's being chased by Jango was, well, I guess more quote unquote spectacular. Although I find that scene drives me nuts. But I never got the sense that Anakin was this great pilot or as good as he was reported to be.
Sets it all up, though, no?
Sorry?
The pod race is what sets it all up.
I guess. And then, but I find like you needed Clone Wars, the animated series, to really back up that statement from Obi-Wan. But anyway, that's why I think the Poe scene shooting the hell out of all those TIE fighters is so key. Not only because it's cool, but you need to see how great of a pilot he is.
What do you guys think about that though? Do you think that having this trio that was blessed or bestowed force powers upon whatever, had some kind of blessing on his life in a way? Not necessarily
he's
a Jedi, but like he's special. Like obviously he is special. Like his mom went out on this run with Luke. Like obviously it's kind of not just only to introduce characters, but you know, if he had this tree outside his house his whole life, it seems like he's a pretty lucky guy.
I don't think so. I think anything force related runs through Rey in this movie or in this trilogy. For the most part, maybe Finn dabbles in that as well. Maybe. Although I think everything funnels through Rey as far as being a Jedi.
He's involved. No. Like, you see, like, he was the one that was trying to find Luke, right? Like, he's the key player that Leia says, you're the man. Like, you know about the Force. You believe. Go for it.
No. She had just sent him to get the map.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a pretty important mission.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Poe is Force sensitive in any way.
Me neither. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying he's kind of...
Or looked over by the Force, or has some sort of Force guardian angel. I don't think any of that is part of the story. All right. Well, that was cool.
Yeah.
Episode 8 news. Not a whole lot this week. And well, anyway, nothing that I really care to bring up. But Corey has been banging the drum that maybe Chewbacca has been in Act 2 this whole time while Luke and Rey hang out. And I wasn't sure that I was on that page. It seemed like it's that Chewbacca has something else to do. But it seems more and more like he's going to be there because he showed up. Chewbacca showed up at an elementary school in Ireland while they were shooting. And he got to meet some of the kids, or all of the kids, from what the report says. And I think this was on, was it Star Wars Underworld, I believe. And he was there, and he got to interact with the kids, and you could see in the tiny little animated GIF that they have, in the video they have on the page, some of the kids wanted nothing to do with this 7-foot-tall beast, and others were all too happy to get a hug or get picked up. It was really cute. But all this to say that if Chewbacca is over in Ireland, then you got to think that he's also in some of the scenes that they filmed there, especially since the actor reported to be in the suit was the same guy from The Force Awakens, not Peter Mayhew, but Junus Suotomo, the new double, the next Chewbacca.
Does this sound? Am I a horrible Star Wars fan for not knowing that he was even in it? Like in my head, I was kind of just like, man, Peter Mayhew can still move. Like, I can never picture anyone else in my head other than him in the suit, you know?
Well, he can barely move at all anymore.
That's what I kind of figured, you know? Like, he's been walking with a cane for so long. But
yeah, no, there's a new young guy in there who looks like he's fit and ready to go, and...
I saw him picking up those kids, and in the article, and I was like, wow, Suotamo.
Sure. Anyway, looks like you were right, Corey. That Chewbacca is probably, if this is the case, going to be in Ireland, and we'll see him, whatever his part is in the movie, he's going to be in Ireland.
And I'm going to go so far as to saying, I don't know if you caught this one, James, but we were discussing last week, there was a little tidbit that had dropped that everyone was saying that supposedly Kylo Ren has a ships crashes on Act 2. And basically, why would that be? What other reason could there be other than R2 and Chewie just being like, booyah, gotcha. Gotcha.
Shooting down Kylo Ren?
Yeah. It's the only way. I don't think Kylo's just going to kamikaze, like, do something stupid and crash his ship. Like, something has to go wrong. And like I said, I really don't see Chewie and R2, like, having much else to do. Like, who else are they going to help? Like, you know, the Resistance, Leia has his 3PO. Finn's going to do his thing. And, yeah, I think they're just waiting to, you know, do your thing, train up. We're going to rest up. Chewie's got some wounds to heal. R2 just woke up. He's kind of like probably still a little foggy.
I actually had another theory.
It's not crazy. It's not that crazy.
No, and I used to not be on board with that. I thought they'd have other things to do, but it looks like that's the case. And it's not crazy, but I do have another theory if you care to hear it.
I do.
Either way.
What if that space capsule does crash, but inside is not Kylo Ren, but Snoke. And he's just like an old man driver. You know how old people are behind the wheel? They can't drive for shit. What if he just comes hurtling out of light speed and just crashes into the surface?
Or maybe it's an escape pod.
You just offended our one old listener. Sorry, Merle.
Well, you ever see old people in the parking lot? Backing up, backing into the guy behind him, wheeling into that spot, grinding up against the neighbors in the next spot over.
Yes.
What if Snoke is that kind of driver?
He would be.
He would get out all dazed and confused. I don't know. I think I like my theory.
Dude, I bought my first brand new car back in 2014. I swear to God, a month to the day, I came back home. There's like a giant scratch on my bumper, like a good 4-inch scratch. Deep. This winter, there's literally about a good 4 dings on the side of my door. Like, deep. Like, people have no shame. They don't give up.
I never buy new. That's my advice. Never buy new.
True.
Unless you are wealthy and you can afford to, and this kind of thing is no problem to you. You just take it to the shop and get those dents banged out or sucked out. Don't ever buy new.
No,
and that's the car advice for the week.
I completely subscribe to that advice.
I mean, you can buy new-ish.
You know who else? I'm not. You know who never buys new? Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett, yeah,
never buys.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
That's a guy whose advice you want to take.
Exactly.
He's been living in the same modest home since I think the 50s.
It's only modest by a billionaire standards. It's much nicer than your house and my house put together. I've seen it.
Right, well, it's a gorgeous property, but it's not what you'd think the world's, you know, second or third richest man, whatever he is. It's not this stately.
No, not at all. He basically lives in where the beavers live, where the cleavers live.
Yeah, it just looks like he lives in a nice big home. Yep. In the suburbs.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing spectacular about his home.
It's he's a modest lifestyle. This guy supports. I know we're off topic, but this guy supports a one-time. Tax on the ultra wealthy of 90% of their total net worth. Because according to him, you can't accumulate the kind of wealth that the ultra wealthy have without not paying taxes. So it's all owed. And he wants it retro on everything you've earned up to this date, period. Not like this starting next year.
Wow. Yeah, it's never going to happen.
No, of course it's not, but just he's a very interesting guy.
Well, I guess he could get behind his advice and take 90% of whatever he's ever owned and give it to somebody.
Done. You know, he gives it all away, dude.
Yeah, he actually, he does give a lot of money away.
Yep.
Gets it all back, I'm sure, in some ways.
Yeah. You can't give it away, that's the thing. When you have that much, you just can't get rid of it. Rough problem.
Rough problem to have. Actually, his right-hand man for all these years, what the hell is his name? It'll come back to me. But I'll say Charlie something. Anyway, he, hilarious old guy. Just a fountain of wisdom. And his sense of humor is just spectacular. What's his name? It's going to drive me nuts. His book's called Old Charlie's Almanac.
Okay.
Charles T. Munger. You got to look this guy up and just watch a couple of YouTube videos about this guy. The guy's like 90 years old or something like that. But he's so witty. He's so smart. You'd wish this guy was like one of your old uncles that would just talk your ear off.
Huh.
Anyway.
I'll check him out.
Let's get back on track here.
Check out. Just touching back on the County Kerry visiting of Chewbacca. In that article that I'd read, I'm surprised you didn't mention this, actually, because you're kind of giving verification that, you know, Chewbacca's kind of in Ireland, but Leia's also there as well.
Well, she was reported to have been seen there, but I've not seen her.
Well, it's true. They probably finished shooting by now, but I've seen all kinds of pictures of them lately on Twitter.
Yeah, well, they're done in Ireland. They've wrapped up shooting in Ireland. Maybe now some of the rest of the world can get some action here on the Star Wars gravy train. Can you imagine though, like all these people in Ireland that were floating around the sets trying to get a piece, trying to get a picture, and a lot of people managed to, or just to be on the hunt for that type of thing, right? That you're hoping you get up on a whatever morning and you think you're going to head over to the Star Wars set, maybe catch a glimpse of one of these guys. Like that would be like Christmas morning for any of us.
For sure.
It's funny you say that. I've had that thought numerous times over the last several weeks. Like, what it must be like to know that they're filming nearby and whatever. If you have the day off, just head over with your camera and try to snap a shot of something unseen, you know?
Yeah, well, what year was it? It was, I guess the year 2000. Do you guys remember the movie Heist with Gene Hackman?
Yeah.
So that movie was shot right around here in the West Island of Montreal. A lot of that was shot on the John Abbott College campus.
And in Île Perrot.
And in our old town of Île Perrot. And I was not working. I had just graduated from school and had not yet found a job in my field. So I had a lot of time on my hands that summer. So I would spend a lot of time just rollerblading down to the set and just hanging out. And just looking around, seeing how close I could get, seeing who I could see. And I did actually get to see Danny DeVito and Gene Hackman.
That's sort of cool.
It's kind of it is cool. I mean, not that either are my favorite guys by a long shot, or that the movie ended up being probably in my top 200 movies of all time. But it's still kind of a thrill to go down there and see these huge stars.
Of course, when something relates to your hometown, you're always a little more involved in saying, you're always a little more willing to stick up for it as well.
Well, but that said, when I finally got around to seeing the movie, knowing the settings so intimately that, hey, I know where the curve in that road is, and I that's not whatever they say it is. That's the hallways of my old school.
Yeah, right. That's the Agora, not the whatever they called it.
Right, and it kind of took me out of the movie.
Of course.
And I wonder if that's ever happened to somebody in Star Wars, where they're like, or if it will happen to anybody who was on set. Or hunting on set in Ireland, where they'll watch the movie and be like, no, that's I can't get into this. I know that's home, or I know this area too well. I can't buy it as, you know, blank planet.
I doubt it, just because of the vistas. I think as a human, all of us can relate to the nature of things, like the way that they portray nature in Star Wars. But like, you know, when you're looking at something. What's the name of the island that Luke's been on?
The planet or the island itself?
The island, like, on Earth.
Oh, that was Skellig Mikhael.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, not really many people have been, you know, like, just, it's all vistas and, like, just the way you see it.
No, you're right. And especially being a movie on this scale, they also add things via CG afterwards and stuff like that. So it couldn't, in a lot of ways, be unrecognizable. But that was the episode 8 news this week. I don't really care to talk about a couple of the other smaller things that have come out, especially since we're on a time limit this week, unfortunately. So, Corey, I don't think you're on the hipster vinyl bandwagon. How about you, James?
Nope.
No, like I'm not either, except for when it comes to the Star Wars soundtracks. Like, I own the 3 originals. I don't know if anybody who follows me on Instagram saw this, but I bought the vinyl for A New Hope, and I found it close to 20 years ago. We were driving up north for a weekend. Just going to the cottage, and we stopped at this thrift shop on the way up to the mountains, to the Laurentian Mountains. And the guy had a stash of vinyls, and I'm flipping through them, and I find this, excuse me, the soundtrack to A New Hope. $10. Which was then my entire budget for the weekend. But I blew it then and there on this record. And inside was still the poster that came, that mailed with that soundtrack, and it was still in mint condition. So I put that up on Instagram this past week.
I thought.
I still can't believe that.
That's crazy.
That is a crazy score.
That's amazing.
But anyway, all that's to say, there's a vinyl of The Force Awakens that's coming out very, very shortly. And they've managed to etch holograms into it. Whereby, like, when it spins on your turntable, it actually looks like the ships are in motion.
Like you see a 3D image of it, right?
Yeah.
I saw the footage. It's incredible.
That looks really cool. Now, I don't have the vinyl for The Force Awakens yet, or for the prequels for that matter, although they all are on my Amazon wish list. If anybody is thinking of me come Father's Day or Christmas or whatnot, it's there for you.
And now I'm thinking, it's so futuristic. It's so cool. When you actually saw it, I was like, this should have been done years ago, but luckily it's Star Wars that's kind of breaking the mold.
It almost doesn't make sense to me in a way. Like, you're watching it, and it's super rad. And I think I may have to spring the extra $20-25 and get that holographic version.
Of course.
And then I'll just put it on my turntable, and I may or may not put the sound on. I just want to watch it turn. I also feel like that would be like a great babysitter for the kids. Just come watch the TIE Fighter spin, and it'll completely blow their minds.
That'd be cool for a few seconds.
Probably. Hey, sometimes a few seconds is all you need, right?
Indeed. You gotta get creative.
So, I have a question, guys. We'll be heading into our random thought segment here in a minute, but remember the Kanja Club dudes and the Guavian Death Gang? Do we think that we'll see these guys again?
I hadn't given much thought.
Based on who the actors are, I'm going to say no. I think those were cameos.
Well, I just wonder because they seem, well, okay, there's this, I guess, for them, this real element where they've both loaned Han Solo $50,000, right? And so, either now that they know Han Solo's dead, I assume they know, they either let this loan slide, or they go after somebody else for the money. And which, I guess if they go after next of kin, maybe they chase after Leia, as they're still married, which might seem like a foolish thing to do. Or they go after Kylo Ren, maybe it's, they see it as his problem that he killed off the dude that owes them a ton of cash.
I doubt it.
I doubt that too. Yeah. I see them more working with the First Order in a sense. Like,
well, that's where I'm going. Especially the Guavian Death Gang, they seem to be connected to the First Order with open lines of communication with them. Now, I don't know if it's exclusive to the Guavian Death Gang or if the First Order deals with the underworld in many different ways. It seems like these guys have an in, and I wonder if they're kind of like lackeys for the First Order to some extent.
Well, once you brought it to my attention, I kind of gave it a little thought, you know, and I was thinking about it. And yeah, they do seem like I won't say a force to be reckoned with, but they do seem pretty big time, and they probably will want revenge. But I can see it playing out in a scene where Finn's just a thinner Poe, but more Finn, because Finn's already dealt with him before. And Finn, instead of cowering beneath, like, a ship's, like, innards, he would be facing them, like, man-to-man, kind of, like, not the same guy we saw in The Force Awakens, in a way.
But no, I can agree with that.
It wouldn't surprise me again, but I can't say if it would or would not happen. It does kind of make sense. I wouldn't be upset if it did happen. And it could be a nice breakup in the movie, you know, it could be maybe a humorous scene or a nice little quick action scene to kind of segue into something else. But I don't see it being anything pertinent or important.
Yeah, I mean, I also like recurring roles. Like, I like to see continuity in villains, and I think it might be cool to see them again. I mean, if they don't, they're not, then I won't cry over it, but I think there's a possibility there that they're back.
Yeah, why not? I like the name. Kanji Club sounds so cool.
Well, those guys all pretty much got eaten alive, so I doubt we see them, but I think the Guavian Death Gang might be a bigger outfit that might have a better chance at showing up again.
I wanted to ask you a quick question a few episodes ago, but we never just had the chance so quickly. The ship that Han's flying in The Force Awakens prior to having the Falcon back, do you know the name of that ship by any chance? I Googled it and I couldn't find it.
No, it's in the visual dictionary to The Force Awakens, which I own, and the name is in my head somewhere, but it's not going to come out right now. But next time you're over, you can flip through it and refresh your memory.
Excellent.
Or I can just look it up after and send you a text.
Whatever.
Your choice. All right, now let's wander into our random thought segments. I've got a question here from Ads on Twitter. And so he wonders, would you rather be an Imperial Guard working for the Emperor, so one of those guys in these super cool red robes with thin black eyepiece. Those guys have always been super badass. So one of those guys, a Gamorrean guard at Jabba's palace, or a bartender at the Mos Eisley Cantina. And I think that's James's cue, the former bartender. Let's let James go with this one.
Agreed.
None. I don't think any of those have like 30-year. Retirement plans, you know, like I think you do those jobs for about 5 years. It's like an NFL sort of career. You either get injured or broken or have to retire early because you go crazy. I think you have to take bartender just because of all of them. At least I think you get to go home at night and like be sort of normal. Whereas like if you're an Imperial Guard, I think that's like, I don't know, that feels like slavery slash job, no?
The reason I would not go with Royal Guard is just you're on your feet all day. You don't get to really talk to anybody. Those robes probably get really heavy and hot.
That's true.
Ah, man. And you gotta stare at that prune-faced emperor all day long and listen to him cackle. I would go nuts listening to my own thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm on the same page as that. Like, I think having to work for people like those, like, you, first of all, you're gonna die young because you're gonna be so stressed. You can't even sneeze if you sneeze at the most inopportune time, like someone's gonna force choke you. And they're brainwashed, the training, no life. Like, it seems like a pretty intense and, but who knows, maybe they're well rewarded for it, but, you know, they won't be people or they won't have a soul anymore after having done that job.
Well, it feels like, it's probably a pretty boring job until the moment where you have to step into action, and in which case it's like more than a 50-50 chance that you're dead.
But at the same time, that's something I wanted to bring up as well, is that I really hope somewhere in film we get to see these guys in action. Because we've seen them stand around, but can we see what they do? Please?
That's a fair request. Well, I think we also have to put into context a little bit, like, as a species, like, say, for example, the Gamorrean guards at Jabba Palace. Maybe that's, like, the pinnacle of Gamorrean guard life, or as a, like, that's the top thing you could ever aspire to be as a Gamorrean, as a guard at Jabba's Palace.
Agreed. I was so on the same page as you, in a way. Like, I thought we were all gonna just, I think in the long run, I would probably choose bartender as well. But, that's a hot, like, a really hostile place, Mos Eisley, Cantina.
Oh, for sure.
And they all have, all these jobs, like you said, have NFL shelf lives. But the Gamorrean guards, like Kyle's saying, like, they're pigs, you know? It's like, it seems they really enjoy this. Like, when the Rancor comes out and eats their bunny, they're, like, laughing their asses off, you know? They're like, yeah, he's going down. Like, they're having...
Yeah, but I think that's the most volatile of all the, of the three choices. Like, if you go with that opportunity, Jabba might throw you down into that pit because he feels like it.
True.
So that's scary. Like, you just might be walking through one day on your way to the loo. Boom. Trapdoor opens. You're gone.
Yeah. And then you're squealing just, like a pig.
Just for Jabba's entertainment. That's no way to live. But then again, maybe if that happens, you go down as a hero among your people. And they build a Gamorrean high school in your name. They build a Gamorrean statue.
From what I gathered in that short time span, it just looked like they all ate pretty well and drank a lot, and, you know. Although, don't get me wrong, I would never want to work in Jabba's Palace, and like James said from the get-go, I don't think, I wouldn't want to choose any of these jobs, but I think I'd have to go with bartender as well, just because.
Yeah, no, I think that's consensus across the board here.
Yeah, you can befriend people, and, you know.
Like, you just have to know who you can and can't talk to. Just keep, sling drinks, stay quiet. Don't ask, if someone doesn't tip you, don't give them a stink eye.
Yeah, just be a good dude.
Yeah, just kind of keep your nose down. Do your job. Give them drinks. Go home. I think that's the safest. And you probably hear some pretty interesting stories, too, because some pretty wacky people go through those doors. All right, so who's next? James, have you got one, or did life get in the way?
Well, I got an answer to the crossover question from last week.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, we didn't get around to that question. So last week, Corey, go ahead. Let's hear yours.
All right. So yeah, this week, my question was basically, although this is kind of sacrilege for Star Wars fans, if you had to make the choice and you had to amalgamate two franchises or characters, there was going to be a crossover, whether you liked it or not, between Star Wars and whatever, what would it be? Like, any franchise, any character, like, they were doing it, it's just, you know, what would be the lesser of evils?
Okay, so, there's no good choice, because I had a few minutes at least to think about it. More like a couple of hours.
Well, not maybe in what most makes you happy, but what makes most sense to whatever, anything that works, you know?
Well, I have reasoning for my pick, because I went through, like, you know, I sort of went right past Marvel and stuff, because I just didn't like the power struggle, like, matching up, you know, power levels between different forces. Yeah. So I didn't want superheroes or, you know, to have to fight Jedis and stuff. So in the end, my choice would be the Terminator franchise.
Cool.
Yeah, none of the technology seems to, like, be too out of whack with any of the technology we've seen in Star Wars, beyond the time travel aspect.
Yeah, you know, it's a galaxy far, far away, you know? Who knows? Things move, too. Space is expanding.
That's it. You know, I figure that could be a world that exists within the Star Wars universe. It's a robot world somewhere in the future, etc. Although this was a long time ago, I suppose, but... That was my reasoning. I think you could probably have some sort of storyline that wasn't too ridiculous, where you had a T-unit and Jedis fighting each other. I don't know, I couldn't really imagine a scenario that works, but it's probably out there.
I think that's a pretty good one. I think Jedi line up well having to face some other adversary other than stormtroopers.
Right.
Or these things that are...
A smart robot, for one.
Yeah, a tough, smart robot would be a much stiffer test for a Jedi.
Like Grievous.
That's a good one, James. I'm actually really impressed with that. And I wouldn't mind, actually, if they, not on film, obviously, but maybe in some kind of classic Marvel crossover type thing that they used to do.
It'd be cool. It'd be cool to see in a comic for sure.
Yeah, not bad. Good job. I guess I have to provide my answer now, right? Because I blanked. I didn't think about it. But in trying to have my subconscious process some options here while we record, I'm probably not straying too far off the reservation. I guess it's not a very, very thoughtful answer. But I wouldn't mind seeing the Star Wars universe cross over with the Alien universe.
I went there too. I thought of that one as well.
They're kind of very closely related.
Yeah, it's imaginable.
That's so cool. Like, honestly, like, these two choices never crossed my mind. It's so neat.
Where did you go, Corey?
Well, you know, I thought someone for sure was going to say Star Trek. For sure. Even though, like, we kind of, you know, it kind of makes sense in a way, you know, like, they have time travel capability and warp speed and whatnot, you know, things happen. But
is that your answer?
No. And then,
all right, thank goodness.
I thought someone was going to say that. So that had crossed my mind originally. Like, my top three are basically C, Star Trek, B, Batman, just because Batman rocks, and I don't know why. I can't explain that one. But the one that kind of, I said, I love this franchise, and kind of makes sense in a way, would be Transformers. Because it's also robo-ish, time travel-ish, you know, long eons of time.
Yeah.
If Megan Fox is in it, I'd probably watch it.
And I think
robots transforming into X-Wings?
Well, dope.
That'd be pretty dope. I'd be into that.
That'd be super dope. A Millennium Falcon Transformer? I want it.
Yeah, a Starkiller base Transformer?
For sure.
Does that make sense? Probably not, but I would still want to see it.
Does. You got your own Unicron.
Yeah, Unicron. I hope he's the villain for Transformers 5 is what's coming next.
Yeah.
I'll subject myself to another one of those. Especially if Unicron is in it. Is that it? Are we done?
I got another question if you want.
All right.
You sure?
Yeah, we got a few more minutes, I think.
All right. This is pretty hard. If you, in the Star Wars universe, if you had to choose one pet, if you could choose a pet, any animal in the kingdom that's not really like a sentient being, who would it be? Or what kind of animal would it be?
I would take a loft cat.
That's awesome.
Maybe a tauntaun for the commute to work in the winter.
Oh, I was going to say tauntaun. Did you forget?
I crossed my mind right away as well.
For sure. It's like a horse meet the kangaroo. Oh.
That'd be pretty rad, though, riding a tauntaun to work.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. I don't know if I'm not changing it from my lothcat answer, so you can still have tauntaun.
Sweet.
Hey, there you go. All right, so actually, Corey, I want to run this by you guys. James, feel free to chime in, although there is a bit of a rebel slant to this. So Dave Filoni is headed to Star Wars Celebration over in the UK. And he's bringing a couple of Season 3 episodes of Rebels to screen for them, so lucky bastards get to watch
two episodes of Rebels. Right?
Yeah, of course. And earlier, I think it was late last week, or maybe it was even this weekend. I've been really out of touch with the internet this weekend, so I'm not sure what happened when. But he tweeted out a picture of a spine of an old EU hardcover book, Star Wars, the Star Wars logo on it. And he said that sometimes there are truth to legends. Now, he's really hinting at something.
Of course. He's bringing back, oh, that's amazing. I didn't see that.
So it looks really very much like they're bringing back somebody from the old expanded universe stuff.
And there's
into
no clue
the,
on that spine of, as to what?
Not that I could see.
It must be Thrawn. It's got to be Thrawn.
Well, that's the rampant speculation that Grand Admiral Thrawn is going to be introduced into Star Wars Rebels. So with that in mind, try and rank these four options in terms of your preference for season 3. So would you like to see Obi-Wan return, the death of Darth Maul, the return of Ahsoka, or the introduction of Thrawn?
Yeah, one more.
And James, feel free to chime in. I know you, James, you haven't watched yet, and so you don't really know Ahsoka or Thrawn. But feel free to chime in if you have an opinion. So Corey, again, that's Obi-Wan returning, the death of Darth Maul, the return of Ahsoka, or the intro of Thrawn.
Wow.
That is a tough question, apparently.
Uh-huh. Corey's blanking. I think his eyes are...
Answer first. I can answer it if you want. I thought James was going first.
I'm not going to answer. I don't know. Two of them aren't even options for me.
Yet.
Well, that's what I mean, yet.
Fair enough. All right, so Corey, you got 20 seconds.
Okay, basically, I think I would most like to see Obi-Wan come back because I think that's going to entail also Darth Maul's demise or reintroduction, and it possibly also leads a re-entry of Ahsoka as well. And Thrawn can really sit on the back shelf if those first three can be accomplished.
I'm kind of on the same page. I personally want to see Obi-Wan come back, which again, that would pull Darth Maul out of hiding.
Possibly Ahsoka's last stand as well, where we can kind of understand where Ahsoka's, what's happened to her in a way.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're getting Ahsoka back anytime soon. And Thrawn, I'll be happy to see him, and it really sounds like he's going to be coming back. The speculation is very rampant, and MakingStarWars.net had a report back in January that they were hearing the same thing, and they were putting a lot of weight into it. They believed it was happening, so. But again, he's a cool character, but I don't care if they bring him in or not. It'd be great, but I think they can do great stories with or without him.
Agreed, and that's what I think, you know, we were talking about this earlier as well, that, you know, he had tweeted something quite a few months back saying that there was going to be something big coming at Celebration, and that he had, like, in quotations, found and made a way to make it work with canon and whatnot. So we were both had agreed, I hope it's not necessarily that, because we kind of want to see something a little more meaty, but having him back is still cool nonetheless.
It is cool, and I think that part of it is fueled by some shadowy character in Aftermath, the novel that came out just before The Force Awakens, an unidentified, only vaguely hinted at character who seems to be rallying the remnants of the First Order, and people are trying to see if they can connect the dots and say they're talking about Thrawn. So it looks like he might be back in a semi-major way. But we'll see. Good questions, guys.
Yeah.
Good show tonight, I think. We're going to have to wrap it up here in a minute.
My pet would have been a Rancor, just for the record.
Oh, right.
By the way.
How are you going to feed that? Like, are you going to feed it annoying neighbors? What are you going
to
feed it?
Oh, I was going to say it's quite an inconvenient pet to have, but they really do seem loyal. And logistically, it does. But.
Hey, guys, we got to announce the winner of our contest to see the OVMF perform the music of The Force Awakens live. That time has come. And I'm happy to announce that one Vanessa Butler has won the tickets. Vanessa, congratulations.
Yes.
You are the lucky winner to see the OVMF on June 12th performing the music of The Force Awakens. I hope you're excited. I hope you've been catching some of the clips I've been putting out there, or that they've been putting out there that I've been sharing. And I'll be in touch to give you the good news and let you know how you can get your hands on your tickets. And so with that piece of good news, I think it's time to wrap up the show here, fellas.
Agreed. But before we go, I think as any Star Wars fan, because this woman made the rounds, I'm so jealous of her. I can't believe this happened to her. Good for her. She's in a tailspin right now. Like, I think we should give a quick shout-out to Candace Payne, the Chewbacca face mask woman.
Yeah, I mean, she's, yeah, no, nothing but good vibes from her, right?
Exactly, like,
that video was so funny. Did you see it, James?
I didn't.
You did not?
No, I'm gonna have to look it up right after the show.
Oh, it's funny. You have to make sure you see the first one first. It's hysterical. Like, it came my way, and I was like, oh, I don't want to see this. Then in a moment or two of nothing to do at home here, which is rare, I decided to hit play. And I'm glad I did. If you're not in a good mood, you will be by the end of that, whatever it is, 3-minute video. And then it went so viral and got so picked up that she ended up meeting J.J. Abrams out of this and being on talk shows, and it's really gotten out of control for her, but in a good way, in the best way.
Yeah, she was on the Star Wars talk show.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she was everywhere. Yeah, good on her. I'm glad this from a 3-minute video done in a parking lot near a Kohl's to what this has become. Even if we never hear from her again, I'm sure she'll remember this forever. All right, boys. I think that's the end of the show for tonight. And I want to thank you guys for showing up and doing your duty.
Hey, always fun.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Good to hear. And everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to episode 26 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and please leave us a review. And that's the best way to help us grow the show. And if I may also direct your attention to our good friends over at Talk Star Wars. If you want to check out some more awesome Star Wars talk by a good bunch of guys, look them up on all the places where you would find this podcast, and I'm sure you'll find them. And you will not regret also subscribing to their podcast, which comes out a couple times a week. Where else are we? We're also on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Tumbling Saber. Corey's at Chop Rules. James is nowhere to be found. And definitely stick around until episode 27 of the podcast, which will be coming your way next week. And until then, have yourselves a good one, and we'll catch you soon.
Were you watching me? Was it just